Here's your money briefing for Friday, June 11th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, sitting in for J.R. Whalen. With pandemic restrictions being lifted and the weather warming up, the first thing a lot of people want to do is take a trip. But before you do, beware the urge to overspend.
I spoke to a lot of people who said, we are really at risk of making some impulse purchases, or in this case, doing some impulse booking.
Coming up, our personal finance reporter Amber Burton joins us with some tips on how to keep your travel costs down when you go away this summer. That's after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of The Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
As Americans start to emerge from the pandemic, people are itching to get out of the house and travel. But as we've talked about on the show before, prices are soaring ahead of the summer travel season. Luckily, there are ways to budget for those higher travel costs. Joining us now with some tips is our personal finance reporter, Amber Burton. Amber, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amber, it seems like everything travel-related is more expensive. Airfares, rental cars, dining. If I want to take a big trip this summer, what's the first cost-saving tip that you'd give me?
The first cost-saving tip would have to be to look at what you were able to save during the pandemic. There were a lot of people who, if they were fortunate enough to, you know, keep their jobs during the pandemic, they might have saved a lot and put a lot into their savings during this time. And then, you know, a lot of people were really benefiting from the stimulus checks as well. So you might find that you have a little bit of a surplus and you want to use that toward vacation, but be really careful and have a really, really great understanding of how much that is, how much you're willing to spend. And, you know, make sure that you're not taking it from your emergency savings. You want to keep that built up. But if you have a little bit left over, have a good idea of what it is and utilize that.
So it sounds like if the money isn't there, you might have to be realistic and maybe even consider some trade-offs.
Right. I talked to a couple of wonderful financial advisors who were really saying, you know, there's nothing that says that you can't take a vacation right now, even though it's more expensive, but just be aware of, you know, where that money is coming from and think of it as a trade-off. So one example that was given was, you know, if you are taking a trip this summer, maybe that means, you know, giving up your weekly date night for the next few months. Or if you're finding that you value that more, you know, trade that vacation for those weekly date nights. It's really adjustable to what you're looking for and what you value right now. Another great example was, you know, the trade-off of maybe you take a smaller trip now or you skip the smaller trip now and you take a bigger trip next year, maybe an international trip once even more countries and places to travel are open again.
For a lot of people, this will be their first trip in more than a year. People have got to be eager to get out. Is that something to watch out for?
Oh, yes. Watch out for that eagerness right now. I spoke to a lot of people who said, we are really at risk of making some impulse purchases, or in this case, doing some impulse booking. So that's the, you know, knee-jerk reaction of immediately booking a trip because we want it. We've been inside for most of the year and we want to get out. But one tactic that was suggested was just like you do with your online shopping cart. Before you book that plane ticket or book that hotel stay, do the overnight test. So, you know, go ahead and put the details in, hold it in that cart, but don't pay for it for a few days. You kind of sleep on it. The more days, the better with this sort of test. And if you still want it several days later, then go for it.
Amber, I guess another key question for those taking a trip this summer is, how are they going to pay for it?
Absolutely. Yeah, the number one question is definitely, how are we going to pay for this? And a lot of people, you know, are going to go straight for their credit cards, especially these travel cards, which have points that have been building up. And travel points might be, you know, a great way to go. You know, if you pay on your credit card, you are building those points, but really, really be careful with this because, you know, if you are unable to pay this off at the end of the month, turn around and pay it off right away, it's almost not even worth those points that you're gaining by going on the trip. So a lot of advisors say, you know, sure, utilize the credit card if you can pay it off right away. Otherwise, work on using cash and money that you know that you have available.
What about holding off on summer travel, Amber? Would it make sense to wait until fall when prices will likely come down?
There is nothing wrong with waiting. I mean, you know, the old cliche, good things come to those who wait. I spoke to a travel expert over at Homes to Go, the vacation rental company, and they were just saying they're already seeing, you know, the old advice still exists that if you go in off season, you know, off peak, or if you go in the middle of the week instead of the weekend, you're going to get a better deal. So the longer you wait, the better.
Finally, Amber, you write that the trip itself is only part of the experience and that people should consider the reasons they want to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke with Dan O'Reilly. He's a professor of psychology and behavioral economics over at Duke University. And he was just saying, you know, for a lot of people, while the trip is a lot of fun, what lasts the longest and what has the biggest psychological impact is that anticipation and the memories that come afterwards. So these two parts often last longer than the actual trip itself. And that anticipation, for instance, we all know it when we plan for a trip. Sometimes that has even more psychological benefits, it feels like, than the trip itself. So keeping in mind that, you know, a lot of this is a mental game as well, in knowing what we're getting out of it.
Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Amber Burton, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner, sitting in for J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.